So we do thank you, Lord, for your word to our hearts, that we may receive this word, ponder it, and live out of it. Grant us your power and your grace, dear Jesus, that we may know your word right now. And we praise your name. So I'm reminded by the readings tonight of the teaching of Thérèse of Lisieux, who is now considered a doctor of the church, but whose message was very simple. She struggled in her day to find a way to God, as we all do. And she wanted a way that she felt confident in. And when she looked at all the saints, she felt that the rugged way of ascetical practice and climbing up the mountain of holiness just seemed to be too hard. And she sought God. She said, there must be another way. And so she had this revelation from God, the little way. And there's two parts to it, very simply. Firstly, that God reveals to you, and you become deeply convinced of it, of your littleness, of your weakness, your brokenness, your fragility, your sinfulness, and your proneness to sin. That you come to acknowledge that. In other words, you acknowledge that there is a deep need in you for the Saviour. Because of yourself, you are left with nothing, an emptiness. And then the second part is that you throw yourself, because you know your true condition and you're standing honestly before God, you throw yourself fully and utterly upon his mercy. You simply give yourself confidently to God, confident in the mercy that he has shown to us in Jesus, who hung on the cross for our sake. And she said, that's the path to union with God. I'm reminded of it today because we had, at the first reading, the story of David. Because what we tend to do, we tend to be a bit like David. We tend to cover up as best we can and make the most of our mess without truly acknowledging the truth before God. That's what David did. You know the story. I'll remind you. Remember, he lusted over Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And being the king, he decided to order her to come to him. And he had relationship with her, and she was with child. Uriah was out in the battlefield. And so the story goes on, that David tried all sorts of ways to try and get Uriah to come back and to sort of have relations with his wife so that he could cover up. But it didn't work for him. And so ultimately he decided to send a message to the Joab, who was in charge of the army, to make sure that Uriah would be right up the front of the battle and he would be put to death. And that's what happened. Problem solved. The big cover-up. David took Bathsheba to himself and everything seemed to be fine. The child arrived, but God saw everything. And he sent the prophet Nathan. And we pick it up there in today's reading. When Nathan tells David the story, you remember. He said to David, there was a man who had just a little lamb that was his special lamb. And he loved this lamb so much. And then there was another man who was very rich, not like that poor man. And this rich man had many cattle and sheep and everything. But when a neighbor, when a traveler came to the town, the rich man as made sure that he took the lamb of the poor man and killed it and fed the traveler with that. And David was outraged. He's the judge of Israel after all. He said, that man deserves to die. And Nathan looked at him and said, you are the man. And so at that moment, David had his revelation. The truth settled in of what he had done and the sort of man that he had become. And to his great credit, he repented, as we saw in the reading today. He said, I have sinned. And the responsorial psalm reminds us of that, you know, where it says, you know, I have acknowledged my sins before God. I have confessed my fault before my Lord, and he has forgiven me. I have not hidden my guilt before God. So he was exposed and ready to repent and to receive the forgiveness of God. That beautiful Psalm 51 is the one that we see as David's song of repentance. You know, have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. So wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. David repenting with all his heart because it was his sin that he had to own before God. And then he receives the mercy of God and the forgiveness of the heart of God. But another thing that can happen to us is that we don't just cover up our sins but and our true condition before God, but we can sort of try to make ourselves worthy before God in our own strength. We can strive for perfection in our own strength and by our own efforts. This is what St. Paul calls in the second reading the perfection that comes from the law. And so instead of acknowledging my weakness and my need for the help of God and my need for his saving grace in my life, not only by his help can he transform and change me into his likeness, I rather try to climb up the ladder of holiness by myself. And I keep falling off it. And I can get distressed and anxious about that. Rather than acknowledging from the very beginning my own weakness, my helplessness, as Thérèse de Lisieux suggests, and cry out to God for him to bring his saving power so I can cooperate with him and to turn to Jesus, crucified especially, because that's why he died on the cross for our sake. And that's what Paul is telling us in that second reading, where he says, I live now, it's not I who live, rather it's Christ who lives in me, and now I live by faith in the Son of God who has loved me and sacrificed himself for my sins. Who has loved me and sacrificed himself for me. I live by that faith. Paul says, I no longer live by seeking perfection by the law, because that doesn't save me, but I rather live by faith in Jesus Christ and faith in what Jesus has done for me on the cross when he shed the last drop of his blood for my sake. Now, all of what I'm saying here comes together into the gospel today, because in the gospel today we have this beautiful presentation of this woman who's weeping at the feet of Jesus. No, she's full of sorrow for her sins, but even more so she knows that she's been forgiven by the grace of God. You see, we're not the ones who are perfect, we're simply the ones who have been forgiven. And we don't, when we gather here, we don't gather as the ones who are the most virtuous and look on the scumbags out there who aren't. We gather as the weak and broken, sinful people of God. We've been gathered by under the mercy. Once we were outside the mercy of God, now we've been brought into the mercy of God. And we gather with great gratitude for the mercy that God has shown to us. It's only because of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ that I'm here. That's for sure. You know, I think of the sin of my life, but it's by his grace that I have been saved. And all of us are in the same position. It's only by the grace of God that we are here. And so we can't be like the Pharisees in the gospel there, who sort of take the superior position before this woman who comes in. She has a bad name in the town. Well, in fact, that means she was a prostitute. And everybody knew it. And here she is, sort of breaking in on this party, which is sort of like the dignitaries' party. And they're all sort of looking down their noses at her and pointing the finger and sort of sniggering and all that sort of thing. And Jesus knows their hearts, you see. Because, you see, they've covered up all their sin. They can't acknowledge their need for the Saviour. That's the Pharisaical position. And also their position is they live by the law, not by the salvation that's come in God. And so they think that they've made themselves right before God by just living according to the law. They haven't discovered the living relationship with God in Jesus Christ, and he's right there before them. But they're shut out from it because of their self-righteousness. You see, and that, well, then they can start, they're trying to stand and be superior on higher ground and look down at this woman, you know. But see, she's the one who's touched the heart of the Lord by her tears. And she's the one who has already experienced in her heart the knowledge of his forgiveness. And she's the one who's pouring out her tears at his feet. And she's the one who's welcomed the Lord, whereas Simon, who had brought him the Lord into his house, had not gone through the welcoming rituals he should have gone through, which was, of course, to wash the feet of the guest who came, and also to pour oil on the guest's head and to greet the guest with a kiss. He'd done none of that. And Jesus points that out. Whereas this woman, there she is, she's weeping at his feet, you know, washing his feet with her tears. And she's anointing his feet with the ointment, which might have been very much the oil of her trade, I'm not sure. But then, and she's kissing him, kissing the feet. It's a wonderful, an extravagant gesture of gratitude and of open-heartedness to the Lord that comes when we know that we've been forgiven by God. It's a gesture of great love that comes to the heart. And this is what we too have experienced at some time and in some way and to some degree. But the Lord would have us experience it so much more, that we would know his saving love in our lives, that we would know his forgiveness in our hearts, that we would know his mercy upon us because we put our trust fully in his mercy, as she has done. She's right out there, you know, in trusting fully in the mercy of God. Now, she's acknowledged the truth of her condition, which was pretty miserable, but the Lord's not put off by that. He's delighted and rejoices in her because she's come to him in honesty. She's laid it all out before him, just as she is. And while she's scorned and derided by others, not by the Lord, there's no condemnation in the heart of God. She's welcomed, and she's given that beautiful grace of forgiveness. And so Jesus says to the Pharisee Simon, who's sort of making all sorts of remarks against this woman and thoughts that in his heart of condemnation towards her. And Jesus says to him, Simon, you know, if two people owe a debt and one is a large amount of money and the other is only a small amount of money, and then that debt is just cancelled, which one will be the most grateful? Well, the one who's had the bigger debt cancelled. And Jesus says, oh, it is with this woman. You know, she's had the debt of her sins cancelled. And it's because that's happened, because she's been forgiven much. Her many sins have been forgiven her. She is loved much. That's how she has that love in her heart, where she's just pouring out her tears of gratitude on his feet. And anointing him with reverence and kissing him with great love, because she has been forgiven much. And that's how we are. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. And to the degree that we know that deep within ourselves, to the degree that we can place our full trust in the mercy of God, when we know our weakness and brokenness and sinfulness, we trust his mercy, when we repent and turn back to him of all our hearts, and that's constantly going on in our lives, to that degree, we'll be filled with gratitude. And when we come here as Eucharist, that's exactly what we're doing. Eucharist means thanksgiving. We're here as the grateful people of God for what Jesus has done for us when he died on the cross for our sake, when he cancelled the debt that was due to our sins. When we could not have fixed the situation up at all, he has done it for us. And so we have known this within ourselves, that the response is one of deep gratitude to God. You know, we're gathered here as the weak and broken. We're gathered here as the ones who have not been able to put it together ourselves. We gather here because we need the Saviour. And we gather here because we know he has come to us. He has come in his saving power. He's touched into our lives and made us new in him. He's forgiven our sins when we didn't deserve them to be forgiven. We gather here because we put our trust in his mercy totally. You know, when we can see our weakness and our brokenness and how we sort of fall back into things again and again, but never to become discouraged. Never to become dismayed by that, never to become sort of overwhelmed by our own fragility, but rather allow that brokenness that we experience in ourselves to be the very way to God. The very experience that we have of that, to be able to turn to the living God and to know that he is full of mercy towards us, and to be confident in his saving power, confident in his mercy, confident that he is there for me, that he is there for each one of us, whatever our circumstances are. That he never leaves us without all we need to be able to change and to grow in the way that he calls us to. So this is a beautiful time when we come to Eucharist. We celebrate the mercy of God, celebrate the goodness of God in the heart of Jesus, who held you in his heart when he hung on that cross for you. He held all your struggle that's right happening right now. Whatever habit pattern of sin or whatever particular weakness that you've got, whatever fragility that you're experiencing, whatever pain that you find within yourself in relationships with broken down and all the struggle that goes on in our lives, he died for you. He's there, you know, and his mercy is there for you. It's simply a matter of opening up to him, being truthful, being honest. No point in covering up. No point in trying to pretend that there's not a problem within. But to be honest about it and to be before him in truth and then trust him completely with our lives. Trust his mercy. Trust his saving power. You know, if there's any virtue I have in my life at all, it's because of the grace of God. And as I walk past a prison, I think to myself, or even go into the prison sometimes, I think to myself, there but for the grace of God go I. It's only by the grace of God that we can stand. It is by his mercy. Now, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. If you, O Lord, should mark our guilt, Lord, who would survive? If you, O Lord, should mark our guilt, who would survive? But with you is found forgiveness, and for this we revere you, O Lord. You see, that's what that woman had discovered in the gospel. She discovered the mercy of God. And so she could revere him and thank him and give him praise. And the Pharisees are there marking her guilt against her. That's what we tend to do, don't we? You bet you put one finger out like that, pointing at somebody else, and there's three pointing back at you. That's how it is, you know. Because no one can take the superior position here. We're all weak together. We're all saved together by the mercy of God. And we celebrate that redemption, that wonderful, beautiful gift that's been given to us in the love of God poured out for our sake in Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross for our sake. Let us be like Paul and have that in our hearts this day. I live now, not by the law, as good as the law is, but by itself it can't save me. It can only tell me what I should do. But I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up on the cross for my sake, who sacrificed himself for me. There's where my power comes from. There's where my way of being transformed and growing in holiness comes from. There's my light and my hope in the person of Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for me on the cross. And praise his holy name.